That could be problematic. Panda, I'm not opening the door for you. This is bullshit.
He's not. When he's just sitting there like that, he's fine. When he starts jumping and clawing at the door, that's when he needs to go out. Now he's in his, I want something, and when you look at me, I'm going to take you where I'm going. I'm not playing your game. Then take it where we need to go.
When we got to your house and we got a message from Julie that Tony was throwing up.
Yeah. She's like, do you want to tell him not to come? I'm okay now. It'll be fine. I've rallied.
Man, I'm not playing this game. You burned this bridge with me. I didn't throw up at my house, Tony. It was an amateur hour there.
It was an amateur hour here either. I just took care of business and I was ready to go for the rest of the night. And remember the entire day.
Oh, my name's Tony.
me and my memory privilege over here.
I don't know what happened to me that you two were sick and I wasn't.
I wasn't sick.
Blacking out is a type of sickness.
Well, you didn't drink nearly as many hurricanes as Adam did.
Didn't I, though?
No.
You didn't get the extra shot, mostly because they didn't offer it to you.
That's also true.
Alex wouldn't give me the extra shot.
No, they didn't offer it to me either.
I always asked.
It worked out.
I always asked.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine.
I mean...
Really?
I was sufficiently drunk.
And you... I'm glad you also weren't as drunk as Adam, because we needed two people just to hold him up. That was you and Anna.
It was a special day.
We also needed you to calm down the situation when Adam was like, everything's great, except for these guys. Fuck these guys. What the fuck?
And I was like, no, we're sorry. You're great.
He's drunk.
When was this?
When we were walking back to the shuttle, you were there.
Oh, Tony, with your memory of the day.
Oh,
no,
that wasn't anything. No, that wasn't anything.
Yeah, the guys were like, oh, hey, what the fuck? We were walking by. I squelched it as we were walking by. It was fine.
Yeah. As opposed to the almost fight you got into.
Adam doesn't remember that.
I clearly remember that because I was standing right there.
I clearly remember it as well. You don't remember being like, I was right here. I had your back. Like, I was ready. What do you need, Kayla? What do you need?
You said those words.
Well, I probably meant them.
Except you were on the other side of the incident.
Well, I was right there. Listen, I was feeling no pain. This was the perfect time to get into a fight.
That's true. That's true. That dude was tall.
They were both tall.
Like, I was looking up to both of them.
Yeah.
And, like...
I was looking down to that girl that they were. So it was especially. You don't remember?
No. That was like this weird pyramid.
They were harassing these women in front of us, and one of them was like much shorter than I am. Oh. So that's why I stepped between them. By transitive property of height. Yeah.
Yes.
By transitive property of height, I had. Yeah. She's shorter than me. I have to. And then they started yelling at me.
I was probably busy drinking. And then I was like, man, just go away. Shut the fuck up. Seriously, you're way more drunk than I am.
God, I love
money, girl. And while you may have reach, you don't have weight on me.
And I feel like you don't have numbers.
No.
Because the rest of your party is turned around.
Because with as tall as you are, a slight uppercut,
I'll just get
Kayla, it's dropping that dude quick.
Yeah, I have plans.
That'd have been a nut shot.
I have plans for this situation.
Uppercut to the nuts.
You go low.
Give him an innie. Help him tuck.
I was trying to do a portmanteau there of an uppercut, but it wasn't working for me. I didn't like where it was. I didn't like how it felt.
Nutter punch.
It didn't
punch.
Taste right. I was out. I aborted. I did not persist.
It was a pretty good day, other than almost getting into a fight.
It was just an accent.
That's just a little flavoring.
It was a pretty good half day.
I was there for all of it.
Oh, I wasn't. The half I remember was good. A the flashes in between.
Every hour you said something along the lines of, this is why Alex is great. He takes care of me when I'm drunk.
Except I was the one counting all the ducklings constantly, yep, making sure we had everyone, my drunk ass, making sure everybody's together. Mostly because I don't want to get separated again because people try to take me away.
Oh, God. Some guy tried to pick Kayla up next to the porta potties.
It was really weird. Mm,
we're all
yeah. Make your move.
Yeah.
We're all romance right. Starts.
They already had their pants was off it, a few minutes ago.
Was it the unisex? Oh,
God. I can't remember what Kayla said his opening line was. But it was something like,
it was, I've already struck out several times today. I was like, that's pretty bad because it's like noon. Hey,
your record continues.
Yeah.
It's now a streak. Yeah. Keep moving.
And also, like, that's not a good opening.
Yeah, it's not like a good, a feel
hey,
good.
Like, everybody else has said no. How about you?
Yeah.
No.
Also, right. Put me down for no.
Oh, do you have like a Girl Scout
cookie? Yeah, sheet? Do you have a form?
Yeah.
A market.
Yeah. Is there a column for no, or should I just
I'll give you an
write
extra,
in no?
I'll give
or...
you an extra no.
Yeah.
I'm feeling generous. Three no's.
Oh, God.
The trip no.
I signed a petition to put legalizing medical marijuana on the docket for Missouri. Not because I believe that should be true, although I do. But because the dude who was asking me about it stank like weed and I wanted him to go away.
This was at Mardi Gras?
No, this was at lunch yesterday.
The other time he was blocked out.
Yeah.
This week.
They started giving me the pitch. I'm like, oh, just give me the pen. I will sign whatever you want. Just leave this place. Leave where you are. I don't want to talk about my wrist. Just give me the fucking pen and get out of here.
Weird.
Oh, man. You would have been... You already had a wrist brace on at Mardi Gras, too. You would have been, like, punching perfectly straight. No? Probably not. I mean,
I'm not convinced I didn't get into a fight, man. Like
I'm telling you.
Did you leave your wrist brace at home, by the way?
What?
Today?
No. Saturday night. Like, yeah. You were over here, and you're sitting here, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't remember where my wrist brace is.
Dude, so this is this awesome thing. Like, I'm super OCD about the shit in my pockets. Like, I don't lose shit in my pockets. I just don't. So, the glorious thing about this is, like, when you get blackout drunk and you go home, you've still got all the stuff in your pocket. Yeah. I've still got all my stuff.
Yep.
I was super worried when we got here because I didn't remember taking my jacket, my hat, and my wrist brace off at home and leaving it there.
Yep.
Probably because I knew my drunk ass wouldn't keep track of them.
Well, you lost your... Peach stole your hat.
Peach stole my hat.
Beginning of the day.
I didn't realize until we got to Anna's house, and then I was like, fuck, what the fuck happened to my hat?
Peach. What a wily one.
I was really worried my ears would be too cold, but turned out not to be an issue.
My ears weren't cold.
Also, you
stayed nice and toasty in my hat.
Yeah, it was. God
damn it. As Kayla tried to point out, you did fall down.
Fell down several times.
Yeah.
One really good one. One time you didn't spill your beer or your
drink.
My hurricane.
Your bucket, yeah. That was impressive. That really was impressive.
The other time you did.
I was less so.
Then there was the time you didn't fall down and spilled your drink all over me.
Also, this explains why you were spilling your
drink.
Oh, you
did many times already.
You guys are spilling your drinks all over each other.
No, just Tony.
No.
No, I spilled,
oh, yeah, you spilled on yourself.
I spilled on myself. But it was mostly just on my own arm.
Yeah.
No, you dumped it, like, all down the front of your shirt.
Well, my shirt was also black, so I couldn't really tell.
Like, Adam spilled some on your pants. That happened, like, right away.
And in my shoe. That was the pants didn't bother me, because the when you're
pants.
A big guy, the cuffs of your pants don't match the rest of you, so, like, it was floating wide. It was fine.
But then you were like trying to pour one drink.
Wide.
You were trying to pour one drink into another drink, and you.
No, just... I did it. That wasn't the problem. It was me trying to then put the cup on the bottom of the other one. That's what when I fucking spilled it all.
The situation went
you spilled it all yourself.
Like, oh, I should have just put this one
in. And then you blamed Adam because he started it. Like, Adam fucking started this.
You broke the seal. Break what seal?
Of spilling shit on me.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's fair.
And then I think Adam spilled something on Tony again later.
Well, now I spilled a bunch of food on myself at the Mexican place. So yes. You know what?
Then, those girls behind us at the parade. Well, behind me with the whistle.
Oh, fuck.
Do you remember the whistles?
It hurt. Remember the
parade.
Those whistles were bad.
It was rough.
And then one kept wiggling her ass on me. Like, it's like, what is going on back there? It's weird.
I had somebody try to plow past me and Adam at some point. Like, just tried to push past us.
Yeah.
But they were like...
happens to those fucking crowds.
They were like 4.5 feet tall. So, like, I thought somebody bumped into me. And I looked over and there was just these 15, 16-year-olds maybe? I don't know. They were small. Trying to push through. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I feel like drunk we probably would have avoided that situation.
Well, we hugged it out. We wrapped our arms around each other. They walked away.
Good. So you turn around at one point, and one of the ones that was whistling, like, she wasn't one of the girls with the whistle, but one of them with them, like, she came up and joined them and pulled her top up.
Oh.
It's like, well, for one thing, you're wearing this massively padded bra. So what are you trying to do here?
I didn't see anybody.
That was the most I saw.
I didn't see anybody.
Yeah, I was telling people that I was going to Mardi Gras, and I was telling them that St. Louis has the second biggest Mardi Gras. And they're like, oh, did you see any boobs? Did you flash anyone? I was like, St. Louis Mardi Gras isn't really, like, that happens, but it's not.
Cops.
It's not really about that. Usually it's super cold. And
usually it's just about drinking in the streets and trashing Soulard.
Exactly.
We
nobody
got
wants
there
to
get their in the streets.
Tatas out in like 20 degree weather.
We got
like,
there and the streets were already full of trash.
Yeah, no, that's just like, Soulard.
I was,
and I was like trying to figure out like, is this normal?
Yes. Don't you remember when we went to eat there?
It's not quite that bad.
The place is a dumpster most of the time.
It's not bad. No, it's not. It isn't that bad. I saw one of the girls beside us just throw her bucket down and then step on it to break it and then leave it. I was like, what? Why?
You know Adam did that later, right? By accident?
By accident is different.
You dropped the bucket by accident and then you stepped on it intentionally.
Well, all right. Did I throw it away afterwards?
No.
Oh,
no.
What a jerk.
You just left it there.
Yeah.
God damn, what a dick.
I mean, to be fair, they... dude just brings sweepers out and clean the streets.
Also, there weren't any trash cans to throw it away in.
No,
there was a big dumpster by the bathrooms.
Was there?
Yep.
Oh, God. Do you know what else happens by that? There, two ambulances came through.
Oh, yeah.
But they barricaded the street.
Oh, yeah.
So
there
the
were
ambulances couldn't
barricades.
Get through. So the ambulances drove up on the sidewalk and just, like, off-roaded it.
Yeah, somebody had alcohol poisoning. It might have been me.
It wasn't you.
I was calling for help. You guys were waving the ambulance by.
No, keep going.
Move along. Move along. This isn't the drunk you're looking for.
What are we doing next week?
Adam said Moonlight, but I need to make sure that that's like available. That's what I was just pulling on my phone for to check.
We haven't done a good gay movie in a while.
It's a gay movie?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I knew nothing about what that
black.
Movie. I knew it had African American actors.
It's on Google.
That's Play. All I knew about it.
Moonlight's on Google Play.
Is it?
It's on Google Play.
It is not on iTunes. It's on Google Play and YouTube.
That's fine. All right. I can make that work. I have many devices.
Or we can go to Ronnie's, but they're only showing it once a day or something.
I can't even believe they're showing it still.
Logan opens this weekend.
Don't talk to me about it, Tony.
Ronnie's is still showing Arrival.
I already have a throbbing boner for Logan. Mm. That looks so good. You know what else looks really good that does not have any right to look good? That fucking Kong movie.
It does, doesn't it?
It looks so ridiculous, but so awesome.
I call them skull crawlers. That sounds stupid. You know what? You call whatever you want.
John C. Reilly. Academy Award winner Brie Larson.
It really does look good, like a good movie.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Hold It has already claimed it for the weekend of his play, because that's the weekend it comes out. He's like, we're seeing that on Sunday. I'm working all weekend.
Oh.
Well, because he's got to do Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night performances, so he's calling dibs on movie for Sunday there.
We'll be in Minnesota to see Sam and Taylor.
And then the following weekend's birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Panda agrees.
We don't really have anything to do on birthday weekend, though.
We gotta come up with something.
We do.
We've had this conversation like
every I know, but day I can't think of anything. Like, it's St. Patrick's.
Julie and I are taking off on Friday and probably doing a little bit of day drinking. Mm-hmm. Probably with my brother and family.
Yeah.
Last time this worked out for me. Go on.
Then Friday evening.
But she
evening,
can't get, like, Adam day drunk.
No, because she has the Girl Scout thing on Friday night.
Oh, well, she can.
Well, she can. It will make for a very interesting Girl Scout sock hop Friday
should.
Night.
And then, first off, I have those girls going to be drunk anyway, Tony. That's what you do.
All those 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
And at some point in the weekend, she has staked claim to going to see Beauty and the Beast.
I'm torn between my love for an actress who played Hermione and my complete and total disinterest in Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast was fine. This looks like a shot-for-shot remake. Yeah. And Shrek was a better version of Beauty and the Beast than Beauty and the Beast was. For my money, I like Shrek better than Beauty and the Beast.
And
they,
I know
they basically told the same story.
She's not going to pull out a wand. And she's not going to be the cleverest witch of the age.
No.
So.
But she'll read books.
She'll read books.
Yellow dress.
Then she'll be a prisoner for a while.
Then Stockholm Syndrome
yeah,
kicks
then
in.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome kicks
then she
in.
Falls in love with her.
Yeah, her captor.
Her jailer.
Yeah. Then Gaston shows up and she's like, oh, this guy was also a dick. Why am I surrounded by so many dicks?
Why is everybody a dick?
So. Then she goes with the hairiest dick.
As one does.
Yeah. Then that guy turns into Gaston because, like, the animation was shitty and all the dudes look the same to me.
Except that the prince had a big old schnoz and Gaston didn't.
Well, he also fell into a pit, so.
And true. Died.
I cannot wait to see that guy fall into a pit and then somebody do a mashup between that 300... Fucking Leonidas kicks him into the fucking pit.
Probably a cross between that and then Hans Gruber falling.
Oh, trifecta.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Well, in completely unrelated news.
You started watching The Expanse and you loved it because it's the best sci-fi show on television right now?
Nope. Well, scientists have found a way to actually measure the amount of urine in public pools.
They need to refocus.
75 liters of urine per public pool.
I don't go to public pools because they're gross.
We do.
It's basically a disgusting human soup.
It's all pee, no H.
I don't like that.
That was a good one.
You know, in Maine, growing up, we didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you just went out to the streams. It's all fish pee.
Because you never swam because it's always freezing there.
There's always lakes or ponds like within walking distance.
You just talk and
fresh
jump
water.
In.
By fresh, you mean full
yeah.
of pee?
Fish pee?
Fish pee.
Fish pee, bear pee,
people
moose
pee.
Pee.
Poop.
All of our rivers are polluted.
I don't.
Gonna get more that way now.
I
too.
Don't fucks with the rivers out here. The one time we went to the Merrimack, ugh.
Oh, don't go there.
It was awful. Although that river that we did the float trip on, that was really nice.
It was Current River. It's all spring fed.
It's really pretty.
Current River's pretty nice.
We saw a
Bear? Liger?
No, what was it?
Unicorn?
Oh, it wasn't a mink.
Dragon?
Mongoose.
No, it wasn't a mongoose. It was a mink. I remember.
Was it?
Chupacabra. Mongoose are from Asia.
Oh, yeah. It was two minks. We just kept hearing this chirping and clicking, and we're like, what the fuck is that? And then we see a mink stand up on a log, and we're like,
mink.
Like, oh, shit.
I'm pretty sure it was a
tiger seal.
Is a mink, not a minx.
Mink?
Mink.
Weren't there two of them? They were fighting?
Yeah, but you said we saw a minx.
Oh, sorry.
That's another thing.
That was its name, a minx.
A minx.
Bat lemur.
We saw a minx. Oh, and that dude almost killed himself.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, we heard that story's been on the podcast before. Yep.
Good times. We should do a float trip this year.
Yeah, we tried to make these plans last year.
Put that on the list.
I'm not drunk, so.
You'll remember.
You need to put the bourbon trail back on the list, too.
We do.
Now that Alex has vacation time, mm-hmm. I think Alex is the key component to this. Somebody needs to drive our drunk asses around.
For what?
I don't particularly
bourbon like trip. Bourbon,
so. Oh, I was reading about a free trip. We can all get a free trip to New Zealand.
What? How?
You have to agree to a job interview. You just have to work in the tech industry in this one city to get a job interview there.
Go on.
All of us could apply for this.
Alex.
Yeah.
Wait, what city?
It's New Zealand. It's like, it's Hobbiton? Not that big.
Is it the one Hobbiton? City?
Wellington?
Yeah, the one city.
Like beef? Wellington?
Like where Pip is from?
Mm-hmm.
You know what New Zealand doesn't have?
Goats.
Donald Trump.
What are you about to say? I can list a lot of things.
Bernie Sanders?
It's a negative.
Well, I'm going to share this with everybody and you can all just...
ignore it.
Decide...
I'll apply for the job, Alex. We'll see what happens.
We just need to coordinate for all of us to go.
Alex, I don't work in the tech industry.
What if we all get the job?
You fit awkward. As a creative director. You could apply.
What if I get the job and you don't get the job?
I would expect that.
I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking for a trip to New Zealand.
What if I took the job and then moved to New Zealand?
Without me? Fuck you.
It would make free trip to New Zealand casting awkward.
Depends on my hours are, I
true.
Guess.
Yeah, what time is it right now in New Zealand? They're probably really far ahead of us.
Yeah, they're like...
it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's...
oh, like, but I'd be really close to Rib.
Yeah.
Just a short plane ride.
They're like as far ahead of us as you can get, I think.
Yeah, it's tomorrow evening there.
Yeah.
It's 4:51 p.m. in New Zealand right now.
Let's get the story, man. That
doesn't make sense.
Well, we're GMT minus 6 right now. We're UTC minus 6, and they're UTC plus 13.
I don't understand.
They're across the international date line.
I don't know what that is, but I just don't understand it.
But... I wonder if it hurts when you lose the day when you fly across that.
It doesn't. That's not a thing. Time is a construct that we made up.
Does it? Do you get it back when you come back? Yes. I know it's all imagined. It's all bullshit. I know
you
it's
haven't all... lost anything and you don't gain anything.
I know so it's yes. all bullshit.
Yes, you get it back because you never lost it.
Adam, I'm a software developer who constantly has to deal with time zones.
Oh.
So you just use the UTC date and move on with your life because it solves the problem.
I hate time zones.
Yeah. Instead of using now, you use UTC now and then the problem goes away completely.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is David and Panda.
We are the Backseat Producers.
And I am chasing this thing around the house, even though it's stationary, and I'm carrying it.
He's going to beat himself in the head with it here in a second. That's when it gets really fun. He starts shaking it so hard that it smacks him in the face.
Yeah. Tony, don't you wish that you could entertain yourself as thoroughly? Like, you'll never be as happy as that dog is over, like, the most mundane things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Alex just threw that thing to him. That's happier than you'll ever be in your life.
Yep.
And did he lose it?
Dogs are dogs.
I think he lost it.
I think it went in the bags. He's so scared of getting in trouble. Like, if something's on something that he's not supposed to be on, he'll paw at it to pull it off, and then gingerly reach. Like, one eye is on us, making sure he's not going to get beat, like, because we do that. And he's just gingerly picking it up, pulling it off.
Peach is the exact opposite of that. Peach one time.
Peach will throw something into a place that she knows she's not supposed to be.
Just to be able to go get it?
One time she doesn't go there anyway.
Yeah, she doesn't need the excuse.
One time when Peach was a puppy, she flipped her dog bed over and then crawled underneath it.
And so then all you could see was this dog bed moving. And then it covered this piece of mail that was on the ground. And then the piece of mail was gone.
She hungry for the mail.
She was using it to cover up what she was doing. The goddamn Peach.
You could learn from that one. All right, so next week, Moonlight.
Sure.
The winner after La La Land. Did you see what happened? Like, we watched it live. It was time delayed by about a half an hour, but yeah.
I saw their explanation behind it.
You could, like, the explanation behind it makes perfect sense watching it.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me the most about the articles that I saw was most of the headlines, the articles say that Warren Beatty was the one that read it wrong. He didn't.
Well, yeah.
Because he got the envelope and he's looking at it and he's like...
He knew something was wrong.
And he's like, he's fumbling, he's looking at it, he looks very confused. And Faye Dunaway, who's standing next to him, says, "Oh, stop being funny." And he holds it over to look at her like, "Look, what, something's wrong here." And she looks down, she says, "La La Land." And it was like, and he's still like, "No."
If you look at the front of the envelope, it says leading female role or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's like up in arms about it, but it was understand.
It was a mistake.
You can understand through their system, like, and I like tell how you, it could happen.
Somebody didn't move that envelope. No, or,
well, most of the time, like a lot of times, they actually hand the envelope to the person who wins. So unless that was a spare.
No, so they have two sets.
Okay, that was what it was. They have two
sets. There's a person that stands at each side of the briefcase, and they each have a full set of all the envelopes and winners. And somebody on this side of the stage handed out the previous one, and the person on this side of the stage didn't set that one aside or move it to the back of the pile.
Gotcha.
And they accidentally handed it out again.
I missed that part of the explanation. Yeah. That makes sense.
So like
it's just like.
But
like,
I tell you, the producer for La La Land was a classy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like he got up there and he had already read his acceptance speech, and they had one of the other producers up there reading it, and that guy's. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, we lost. Like, because, like, there's this flurry of activity going on behind them. And then the producer for La La Land walks up and he's like,
this is not a joke.
Moonlight this isn't a joke. Yeah. Moonlight, you guys won. And everybody's like, what? And, like, they were ushering everyone else off stage. And that guy standing there goes, no, I know these guys. It would be an honor if I gave them their award.
And what's his face? Who was hosting?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Came up and he was trying to like, he was obviously super flustered and he was trying to make like jokes about it. And the producer's like, no, like I would be honored to hand this over to my friends who produced Moonlight. Like Jimmy Kimmel was like, he made some joke about blaming Steve Harvey. Or,
like, I guess Jimmy Kimmel like didn't practice saying anybody's name or something ahead of it. So he, like, made an ass of himself whenever he tried to pronounce anyone's name that wasn't John Smith or something.
I didn't notice that. I mean, I watched the whole thing, and I thought I actually kind of appreciated Jimmy Kimmel's humor for most of the show.
I think the more egregious mess up was the in...
Hidden Fences?
Yeah.
Somebody said Hidden Fences.
No, they announced somebody in the memoriam who wasn't dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they use the wrong picture for a person.
Yeah. Right.
that's awkward.
And I guess they left
that they had time to prepare.
They left a couple people out too, I guess. Yeah, they left out the lady from Everybody Loves Raymond, although I guess they tried to make the case that that should be the Grammys, or no, not the Grammys, the Emmys.
Emmys.
Not the Oscars, because that was TV.
I don't know
not...
if she ever won an Oscar.
Yeah, I don't.
And then there was another person that they left out.
Alex.
Patricia Arquette's.
Was that it?
Sister.
Yeah. Alexis Arquette.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently.
But I don't think Alexis. Alexis was in a few movies.
No, there was somebody more bigger than that. That I don't know who
it was. Me?
Bill Paxton just died, but he died like the morning before or something. Right. So like the news didn't even break till Sunday morning that he died. Speaking of which, we need to do a Recently Dead Guy podcast for Bill Paxton.
I thought we agreed to do.
We did.
I don't remember what that was.
I don't remember either. We talked about a bunch of
John
movies.
John Hughes movie.
Oh, we talked about not doing Weird Science.
That wasn't a John Hughes movie.
Weird Science?
Yeah,
I think it was.
If we could not do movies from the 80s or early 90s, that'd be cool.
We can do 80s or early 90s movies.
See, Alex is on board now.
I just don't want to do teen
sex comedies.
Alex, Aliens or Terminator 2.
Which have already both been done.
And I think are 90s.
Yes.
But both of those are.
Was Aliens? I think Aliens was before T2.
I think you're right.
T2 was like 90, 91.
If Aliens was before that, it's like 89.
Right. It was late.
What? Ladies. Nobody gets the portmanteau anymore.
You said Bill Paxton?
Yes.
Not Bill Pullman.
No.
He's different.
We talked about doing Titanic.
We should do a Bill Pullman movie.
Apollo 13?
Apollo 13, that's the one I mentioned.
Oh,
we didn't do that already?
No, I thought so too, but we haven't.
That seems.
That might be a good one.
Constellation Urine.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with that staring contest over there. All right. So are we doing Apollo 13?
Sure, we'll do Moonlight, and then we'll do Apollo 13, mix stuff up a little bit.
It's a long intro to get to two movies out.
Well, we're there, though. All right, Arrival.
Time travel to this bad boy.
Alex, what'd you think?
This movie was very interesting for me. I enjoyed it.
Kayla?
I like this movie. I did not think it was better than Interstellar, which is what I was told it would be.
Well, it is better than Interstellar, so.
I didn't cry during this movie. No. I cried watching Interstellar.
Wait, what part?
I don't remember. I just remember I cried.
It's weak.
Yeah, you're weak.
I cried watching this movie. So.
Gross. I didn't cry watching this movie. I didn't cry watching Interstellar either.
That's because you're dead on the inside.
Yeah.
You just don't cry during anything.
It's because you're constantly
blacked out. I only cry during intercourse.
except for Saturday when you were blackout drunk. You were bawling like an infant.
Who was I having sex with?
Also, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I need to kill a drifter to get an erection. Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, we were all crying.
Your sperm is not supposed to come out of your eyes. You should get that looked at.
I'm the next evolution of humans. I'm like Cyclops, only everyone doesn't want that.
Jizzclops?
Where does it come from?
It comes from the squirt sack.
The squirt sack.
Tony, what did you think of this movie?
Oh, look at Alex moderating.
I really liked this movie. Like, really, really liked it a whole hell of a lot.
All right, good podcast.
We watched it over the course of two nights. Tony! The kids wanted to watch it, and we started watching it like 8 o'clock, and they actually needed
What about all the inappropriate content?
There isn't any.
Literally none.
There was one F-bomb, which they hear like three of those a night around here, so that's a big deal.
I'm pretty sure they heard 10 since I've been here.
Yeah. From Alex is here, so that happens.
I don't even remember an F-bomb in the movie.
There was one, like, wasn't early on.
Like PG-13 or something?
It was, yeah. Which you can get away with one or two for a PG-13 movie.
It's so weird. These rules are so weird.
And it can't be, it has to be an expletive, not referring to someone fucking.
I watched the South Park episode.
Is there an, I mean,
there's a whole episode about how they can say the word shit now.
Oh.
But you can't say, I have to go take a shit. You can say,
The Daily Show does that now too.
You can say, oh shit, I have to poop, or, oh, I have to poop and shit.
Yeah. The rules are so fucking stupid.
No rules on this podcast, though. Just hardcore racism. Making America great again. One racial slur at a time. I thought this movie was incredible. I think this movie was better than Interstellar.
At the end of the movie, I said this movie did everything right that Gravity did wrong. Especially in terms of what they were going for with the emotional impact of the story. The emotional moments of the story mattered for more than just trying to get you involved and interested in a character that I could have cared fuck less about.
Otherwise. My god, I know.
And from Gravity.
They kept doing the hint thing at the beginning. I'm like, oh, we are going to have to deal with this fucking kid and it's not going to matter at all this entire movie. And then what they were fucking flashbacks. And I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, yeah, we're watching it and like Holden's like, I know who the dad is. And it was like, it can't be. It can't be because when they met, they didn't know each other. That can't be. Oh, it's so good, Tony! That's not a flashback. Fuck. Like, this movie was so good that that opening sequence and the opening monologue that she gives, I paid enough attention to it, but after the movie was over, I wanted to go back and rewatch the beginning. And just the first, like, 3 or 4 minutes, because I wanted to see those scenes again. And everything is in those fucking scenes.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Oh, my God. Knowing what you know, like, when she holds the baby for the first time, she's holding the baby, and she puts her head down, like, and then she looks at the baby like this. She has this moment of, man, this is going to be tough, because I know how this ends. Like, and it's all on her face. It's so good. She's...
In the book, the kid doesn't die until it's like until she's like 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not better or worse.
It's isn't it slightly better?
She just has more time with her.
Right.
I guess.
And you can you can see every time she's with her, you can see that she has another moment like that when she's playing and the kid's dressed up like a cowboy or something and running around. Then the kid's still running and playing, and she's sitting there, and she looks over, and then she just puts her head down, and then she goes back to looking at the kid. It was like, didn't really notice it the first time you see it, but man, it's all there when you go back and watch it.
Yeah. I thought she was just like being a tired mom, which is totally understandable, right? Yeah.
Well, and they made a point of showing that, like, when she had the baby, she was wearing a ring. And at another point, she was wearing the ring, but it was clear that by the time the kid was dying, that dad wasn't in the picture.
Well, they even did that before that, where she's doing her homework. You're like, your dad was the scientist. Ask him.
Well, that was a flashback.
Farther in the middle,
but that was where it all kind of came together. That was like, wait a minute, that is him. Because when she said that, Holden's like, oh, I know who the dad is now. It's like, I can't figure
out here. That something's wrong. These flashbacks don't work that way.
Right.
Only they do. Oh, shit. They're flash forwards. Probably better than the show.
I enjoyed the breakdown of how to communicate with a literal alien species that shares nothing in common with you for language.
I thought, like, when they started doing that, I thought it was going to be the most boring, tedious fucking thing ever, but it was actually really interesting, and they kept doing it. I was like, I could have watched like a full 2-hour movie on just this.
Well, the way they broke down how to communicate, I was like, oh, that, like, I like it when a movie has its shit together, and I'm like, that would work.
I like that they didn't waste time trying to literally teach you this language. Like, they don't waste time trying to make this to be like a literal.
Yeah.
I just accept this abstract concept for what it is.
These are the smartest people in the room. You are not as smart as them. Just fucking take their word for it.
There's a lot of interesting things at play here, like the interpersonal like struggles between like politics and the struggle of like people with a scientific mind, you know, trying to do the right thing, and then you have all the countries like pulling at each other, and you have that asshole. She's like, why do I have to talk to this guy? With the government, who's like, that was maddening.
I recognize that as a realistic struggle, though. Like, I imagine there are a lot of scientists who want to be open and communicate.
Except they can't because they've been put on like a literal gag order. Like.
Right. Or their government refuses. Like, I think legally I'm not allowed to write software and allow it to be exported to a bunch of countries still.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that act is called, but like.
Well,
fucking shit up. Alex,
they played on that during The Martian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the Chinese.
They don't know we've got just a rocket sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, they totally played on that same idea.
Yeah, it was a whole back alley situation that happened there.
That moment when the screen where all the scientists were communicating and they just started disconnected. That was so frustrating.
Yeah. Please.
We all were going like, what the fuck are you doing? Stop doing
No, this is the worst thing that could happen. No. Well,
what burned me on that was it like I felt it. Like it hurt, but I was like, yeah, that's like the reality. Like, and you know those scientists.
Those are the people in charge.
Yeah, the scientists wanted to communicate. But as soon as it's like, oh, it might be a weapon, I'll pull that plug, that's ours.
Well, you can see that that's a universal thing, too, because the Russian, I assume it's the Russian linguist, is the one who risked his life. He's not a character in the movie, but you only hear him.
He tries killed. To get a message out. And
yeah, he's trying to get the message out. So that shows that it's like a universal.
Yeah, scientists don't have an allegiance to their countries. They have an allegiance to knowledge above everything else.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, Alex, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's real.
Oh, what is this? The straw scientist?
No,
who are these mythical people you're talking about?
You don't think you don't agree with me?
No, scientists are still people.
Scientists constantly break the law to communicate with other scientists across borders.
This seems like a broad generalization. Like, I want this to be true, but I don't think we hold scientists to a less rigorous standard.
I think this is a Hollywood construct.
Yeah.
Huh. Let me work it out. Let me look.
There are probably some that do, but I think universally, this is more about who can get funding.
Scientists aren't as pure of heart.
Saintly
group of people that are doing things out of the goodness of their soul and the kindness.
I heard Jesus was a scientist.
Of their human spirit. I work with some
scientists, and those guys mostly are concerned about their next grant.
Yeah.
And you staying out of their shit.
So,
if you stay out of their shit and facilitate them getting their grant, and can figure out how to use their Access 97 database, that's really mostly what they care about.
Yeah, I'm not
probably
sure.
Probably because they started using Access 97 in 1997.
I feel like the geneticists at Monsanto aren't trying to like get the word out.
Yeah, for them they're not even as quote unquote pure as of a scientist, because they're working for corporate motivations.
So there's a difference depending on where your funding comes from. Even if you claim there isn't, right?
I will agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah. If you're being paid by the oil company or a drug company to investigate something, you are subconsciously trying to find something in their favor.
I don't think it's even subconscious. I think that's the motivation.
You are paid to come to this conclusion. Okay.
There are definitely scientists who will do that for the money. But there are a lot who are like, no, I want to research this drug to make sure it's safe before it gets released to market. But they're just lying to themselves.
But see, here's the thing. Science, like we have journalists who are taught ethics as part of their curriculum. And not only that, but there are ethical councils for journalists.
Are you fucking bringing up Elizabeth Donald? Kind of. Her SPJ stuff?
Kind of. But there isn't an equivalent for scientists. There is not journalism programs in general also involve ethics. So do lawyers. I never saw, when I was taking science classes, when I was involved in science majors, anywhere where I was required to take any ethics courses.
So there's a whole study called Research Ethics dedicated to science and research. So
sure.
But is that required?
But who paid for that study?
Follow the money, Alex. Follow the money.
Well, it started in 1964 in Helsinki.
Ah, well, it's foreign, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. You're probably banned it at the airport.
Make America great again, not Helsinki, Alex. Yeah. Come on.
So
it's not Maha.
There's a whole Wikipedia.
Well, don't you think there's a difference in the scientists in this movie, specifically the? She's a linguist.
A linguist, yeah.
Okay, but it's a science. Like,
you're right. In this movie, your straw scientist aside, this movie, there's a global phenomenon happening that could be a global extinction level event. So, like that spirit of free scientific back and forth, because it's like, oh, hey. This extraterrestrial thing could be here to destroy our planet.
Plus, everyone is working to try to communicate.
Specifically, though, the linguist whose name, Luis, she's in education as well. So I think that her motivation comes from a different place. She's not like the scientists you're talking about where they're trying to get funding. Like, she has an interest in education, it's a generalization, but generally people who are interested in education do care about the ethical portion of sharing information.
But at the same time, research scientists in education also, like, part of their job is to get grant money that helps fund them. That's part of their pay.
Well, no, that's fine, but what I'm saying is, like, the type of person who goes into education, they usually believe in the sharing of knowledge portion of it.
You don't go into education for the money.
Right.
Also, from a... like, you don't get that... you don't attain that level of education in a subject you're not, like, passionate about. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, there is no bleeding edge of linguistics. That's not a thing until aliens show up with a completely new thing in these spaceships, and then you need to communicate with them.
And Danvers fucks it up because he doesn't know the Sanskrit word for war.
Finally, there's a fucking bleeding edge. All that schooling, finally. Oh, God, all those shots of her in that empty house.
So,
oh, so good.
Learning the language was something that was interesting to me, because you have a insanely intelligent alien life form coming to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
They could have easily found a way to communicate with us. They needed us to learn how to do it.
Because the language was the weapon.
Right.
Or the tool.
So they had to...
Trick us
into learning their language. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
That part was fascinating.
Which is really clever after the fact.
Yeah.
Because once you learn just how intelligent they are and how they perceive time, why couldn't they have just written a manual for us, you know? But that's not the point.
Right. There are a lot of things in this. The only part that actually bothered me was the explosion.
I could have done without that entire subplot.
That was the part that really bothered me, because I don't understand why they wouldn't have just handled it. They could shift gravity. They could have done whatever they wanted. They could have just knocked the explosive out of the room and let it blow up harmlessly on the outside. Well, relatively harmlessly, would have killed those guys. But
because,
fuck it.
Because it was going to happen.
Yeah, they already saw it. I don't understand what the point of that whole plot there was.
So I understand.
That was to pull the aliens away, and not, so they're not as accessible anymore to everybody on the planet. The only person who goes and sees them after that is Louise. Once. She's the only one allowed to, because they send for her.
Boy, when we were watching it last night, and
that scene is super fucking tense too.
When she goes
with
back,
the countdown. Yeah.
With the countdown, I'm like, oh god, countdown timer, but it's so tense. Even without the countdown timer,
and they're like,
but after the like, no, when she goes when she goes back, and there's just the one. Was it
Abbott?
Abbott was there.
No, Costello was there. Yeah, Abbott,
because she says, "Where's Abbott?" It's like, Abbott's in the death process, and it was like Holden and Aaron both went, "Aw."
I was rough.
Yeah. Like that was intense.
I was interested to see the sheer size of the cephalopods.
Yeah, the heptapod.
Cephalopod is,
yeah, I know.
They were called heptapods.
Heptapod is just a more specific term.
Heptapod.
Okay.
In the book, they're not even there. They're just holograms. Just saying. Which is why this whole part of the plot confuses me. Like, I don't know.
So they,
I don't know why they had this part here. Like, I don't know what purpose that served. Like, isolating her is the only point of contact from that point. I don't know what that gets them. And generally, I hate the stupid military subplot. That plot is so tired. Like, oh, there's these people in the military, and they're going to blow it up because they don't understand it.
Well, that's... It might be tired, but there's a reason for it.
I know, but they already have that plot in the movie. as a global
plot. Aren't those like insurgents?
No, they're...
They're just hillbillies.
They're a rogue group of... Infantry, isn't I guess
that, they were just officers. Like that. That guy shows up a couple times where he's like talking to his wife or his girlfriend on the phone, and she's like, "Oh, the aliens are coming to get us."
That scene was so obnoxious. Because first of all, you are the spouse of somebody who's in the military. This is not how you handle situations like this.
We've been in like 20 wears.
Bugs me in movies so much.
That was driving me mad listening to her talk. First of all, that scene went on way too long. Second of all, listening to her talk, like,
I may have just checked out during that scene.
Like, second of all, there was literally, like, he could have been like, "Hey, just listen,
calm down, relax."
But he was doing that like weird monotone, like, he could be like, "No, literally everything's fine. Like, they're up there talking to him. Like,
yeah,
if they wanted to hurt us, they could have done it a million times."
Well, here's the thing: they've been here for like a week now, and they haven't destroyed the planet.
Yeah, they're trying to talk to us.
What are they waiting for?
Here's the one thing that drives me nuts about all of these movies: they show up instantly and they go away instantly. You don't think they could have just blown up this fucking planet at will, whenever?
Oh, yeah.
That's what, like, I said to you the entire movie.
I know.
I was like, how have they not realized that if these beings wanted to hurt them, they would be hurting?
Yeah,
like everybody.
You literally just have to go get a big rock and bring it to the planet, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Just push, nudge the moon.
Just a little bit.
Can we come with a big rock that will ruin us?
It's very convenient. It's like a quarter the size of the planet. You just slow its rotation. And slow its
a little bit of a nudge.
Yeah.
Like, it's already... Oh, no, it's moving away from us.
Like, 1 inch a year. But, like, you just slow that down. Like, you could like, slow it down a little bit. And then, like...
And just wait. It's a long game.
You could just, like... And then fucking film it. Right? And then show that to you. Like, that could be your entertainment for the next 1,000 years.
Captures.
While the moon just gets closer every fucking year, and the
tides destroy us. This is what everyone on Heptapod Facebook watches instead of a fucking giraffe giving birth. It's the moon running into the planet.
Like, no, like you just slow it down so that instead of it moving an inch away every year, it gets like a mile closer every year.
Freaking TRAPPIST 7 is all watching American moon.
Like 50 or 60 years from now, the moon's close enough that the tides are like a mile and a half fucking high. Just rolling
over. This is what we need to galvanize us in the space process. Remember we were talking last week?
Yeah. Giant space squid vagina. No,
moon getting closer.
That's too easy of a problem to solve.
I want to know, how is this better than Interstellar?
It didn't have Matthew McConaughey yelling at a girl from behind a bookcase in it.
It didn't. It really didn't.
So that's a negative.
I don't know. Interstellar didn't move me as nearly as much as this did.
Don't hold on. Let me be clear. Both of these movies were incredible.
Yeah. Actually, mm-hmm.
Interstellar was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing with Interstellar was I didn't care about Earth. I didn't give a shit. Like it felt like they just made up a reason to have to do this thing. Whereas in this, the reason was thrust upon everybody. Like, hey, this shit showed up, deal with it. Like in Interstellar, it was our crops are dying.
We need to leave the planet because we've killed it.
Now, if in Interstellar,
it's literally, likely to happen than some fucking alien shows up in Montana.
If Interstellar had been, yeah, corporations fucked up the planet and like we don't have a sun anymore. Like that would have been a better reason for me than the corn
you
doesn't
not have
live.
A sun anymore.
Cause... No, like we've blotted out the sky, right? So, like from pollution.
So for me.
No, that's too much. I feel like that's too far.
Interstellar was...
Get ready for 20 years of rap.
Complicated sci-fi, but Arrival felt more like hard sci-fi, with the exception of aliens.
No, Interstellar had aliens in it, or something.
No, they weren't aliens.
No,
they
that was
they
us.
Were future humans.
All right, yeah. Whatever.
But...
Close enough.
But with it, I mean, with the exceptions of aliens showing up, there was nothing... That broke science in this movie.
I mean, aliens showing up didn't break science.
It hasn't happened.
Well, their technology was, it was past the singularity because like they were controlling gravity. Just the fact that you had a vehicle that's hovering like 8 feet above the ground that people can walk under and not get crushed was that is beyond our current scientific ability.
They were able to control gravity at a hyperlocal,
yes,
like in a hyperlocal way. It was
which we can't do,
but we'll be able to.
They do that at the end of Interstellar. So
well, yeah,
yeah.
Just but that,
but that's
the comparison he's making.
That's the aliens doing it. It's not us. We never at any point during this movie we haven't achieved anything that's not within the basis of scientific fact.
Interstellar has time travel.
I'm talking about Arrival.
You guys are conflating two things that Tony's talking about. Yeah. He already said Interstellar has all these things in it.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, aside from what the aliens can do in this movie, our...
Humans.
Yeah, yeah. The humans, their scientific like achievement has not gone beyond our current.
Well, I think it was like...
Perfect. There's no...
Hold on, am I arguing with you? No, I think they're both sci-fi.
No, they're both sci-fi, but from my explanation, Arrival is more hard sci-fi than Interstellar is.
I would agree, just because Interstellar had time travel in it. In Interstellar, he literally affected the past, and then he went like 80 years in the future or something.
I saw the movie, Alex.
And there was there was one minor quibble I had with Arrival, and it was toward the end, and it was when she met with the Chinese general
Shang
18 months from now, and she acts like she's never like she has no knowledge of their conversation that she had 18 months prior, which she needed that conversation to get the information for herself for the past, but she would have had that information in the past 18 months later. That little thing was like the.
It's like she blacked out,
right?
And
yeah, like
her past consciousness was transposed onto her future one. So then she's like,
"Yeah,
where am I?"
Well, but that wasn't the first time that happened. There was a moment where she was
There was also the moment when she was yelling at her daughter about the homework.
Well,
and that's like that's where she started thinking with portals.
That's when she started thinking with portals.
The other thing was she was with her daughter when her daughter was younger, and she was helping her put her boot on, and she it seemed like her current consciousness was in the future because she's like, what day is it? I think she was trying to get the date. Like, get her daughter to say the date, but she said it's Sunday or something like that.
Right, but that was already after she realized that she was flashing forward.
Yeah, in both of those, she had knowledge from up to that point. Because she said, I don't know, your dad's the scientist. Meaning, she knows who the dad is. Whereas, up until the end of this movie, she has not had any romantic contact with what's his dick.
Well, and they also, at like a scene or two after that, they actually show him.
Right.
They like he's standing right there.
That scene where she's standing there, and like you can fucking see it, where like she knows.
Uh huh.
She knows like the entirety of the future from every point forward from them standing there together. That's such a good scene.
And when she like she stops and makes the decision when he says, "I really like you," and she has that moment of, "All right." I know what's going to happen. If I say yes, I know exactly what's going to happen. Or I can just walk away and save myself all that grief.
So
the story is called The Story of Your
Life. And then she says, yeah, I forgot how good it feels to be held by you. Even though.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, what the fuck?
That's weird. Wait. What's interesting is that we saw all those things and assumed they were all flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But she related every one of them to dreams.
Yeah.
And she said that toward that ending sequence, she thought they were all dreams.
The time you realize it is when she goes and she sees Costello and she's in that whatever. And she's actually talking to him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, who is this kid? When this whole time you thought she was having flashbacks of her kid who died. And then you realize...
Louise sees the future.
It's like, whoa. Yeah. They've been. I thought that they were just giving her flashbacks of emotions.
Yeah.
To like, try to stir something in her.
Like she was haunted by past. She couldn't escape. She's haunted by a future. She couldn't escape. Oh, no!
And it wasn't until today that I was thinking back when she has that conversation with her mom. And her mom's obviously asking her if she's okay. She's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Like, you think it's about the daughter.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just not.
I think they told us what it was about, though. I think it was Rwandan? No, who was it? The Farsi. Where she had to translate the Farsi.
Oh, yeah.
And then they end up, like, killing the guy anyway. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
So that obviously is troubling her. And it's yeah, it's
that
the
passive aggressive jab she makes at the guy when he comes in to recruit her.
Yeah, yeah. So I
almost he says wanted... you made quick work of that, and
she said, "Yeah, you did too. You made quick work of him or something." Yep.
I don't remember what this is.
I'll make quick work.
That's what established for the audience that she had security clearance, and that's why the military was coming to her.
Oh, yeah, where she's in her office.
Yeah, and he's like, you worked with us on this other thing, and she clearly didn't want to work with them because, like, she did this translation work for them, and then they end up killing the guy.
We're dicks.
So one thing, towards the end, when she's realizing that she can see the future and trying to decide how she wants to be, or how she wants to live it. It made me think about Steven Universe so fucking hard because I was thinking about
Garnet
in Steven Universe. And
the whole episode where she explains to him
how she can see the future is really good. But now she's teaching everybody how to see the future when she published that book.
That's the
idea. I've never watched this show.
No.
No,
Arrival.
Oh. He's not talking back about Arrival.
Going back to Arrival.
Never mind. I have watched this show.
I wanted like a 20-year flash forward because I was curious what happened to the planet now that assuming even just 10% can see the future. With the stock market's useless.
I'd argue that they don't see the future.
What?
I'd argue they don't see the future. They're just perceiving time non-linearly.
She was seeing a potential future. You don't think others are seeing that?
I don't think that she actually has the choice in the middle.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
You think she's just seeing what's going to happen, no matter what? You don't think
the
The
cause and effect doesn't work here.
You don't think she has free will?
I don't know. If you can perceive...
But Jeremy Renner obviously believes she did.
I disagree.
I think she thought so.
He does.
Oh, no.
He literally says, yeah, you made the wrong choice.
No, I'm not disagreeing with... I'm not disagreeing with Tony. I'm disagreeing with...
I understand.
David.
I'm going to disagree with everyone just for the fuck of it.
I don't think that works with the conversation she has with Shang, whatever the fuck that dude's name was.
Well, I think when she had the phone call with him, she told him what his dying wife's words were and then said, in 18 months, you're going to meet me and I need you to tell me this.
I think so, too.
I think... I don't speak Mandarin, so I don't know what the fuck she said. But
I'm just saying that that conversation wouldn't have taken place if the events had already not happened in the future.
I think
cause and effect don't work.
I think she saw
time non-linearly.
I think she saw a potential future and she had to pick that. Otherwise, like,
if you see a potential future and you have to pick it.
Well, she had to pick that for the best option. I think they made sure that she could see the best option to resolve this peacefully, right? But then she publishes that book, and if you, based on the premise of the movie, if you think in a different language, it'll give you a different perspective. If she can see potential futures...
I'm still unconvinced over here.
I don't know. It's,
if you can see the entirety of your life
I cannot,
a single point...
I obviously cannot prove to you that I have true free will. There's no way. I can only... have thought experiments about it.
I mean,
everything I do could already be happening and I could just have be looking at my life, or I could have chosen.
It's not nerd masturbation.
It is
going
only
right
nerd
now.
Masturbation.
I
keep going.
I have to choose.
Like, black eyes.
I have to choose to believe that I have free will. I have to accept that I have free will. Otherwise,
I mean, right now you do though, because you lack the perspective to understand.
No, I just
that if time is nonlinear,
I could just
the
have
things that will happen in your future. Are already set.
I could have just the illusion of free will, just the same as the illusion of choice in video games. You can't save her.
Yeah, I can. I can pop the second disc in before the cinematic stops, and then she's in my party until I fight Sephiroth in the fucking crater. I didn't spend all that time leveling her to 99 just to lose her in some fucking cutscene.
Don't bring up Eris.
You do not have the right.
I cannot prove to you that everything that
I can prove to you that you do not know.
Do you know how many fucking chocobo races I went through to get that stupid fucking Knights of the Round? Do you know how long it took me to get that flying chocobo?
I don't know what we're talking about.
It took forever.
You brought this up.
Alex, it was forever.
You literally asked for this.
Then I fought the weapons. The rewards for fighting the weapon was the materia I already needed to fight the weapons. I'd have done it again, too. when they release the remastered Final Fantasy VII, I'm going to do it again.
Oh, my God.
Just don't even bother coming over or calling me or IMing me for 3 months, because that's what I'm going to be doing. Grinding materia.
So... You can't
grinding.
You can't prove that we have true free will. We could just have the illusion of choice. Everything could be predefined.
Where are you pulling this from?
But the predication of your free will is... Your free will is determined by the fact that you don't know the future.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen.
But if
that
you knew what was going to happen, you'd have already made the choices.
No.
What?
You don't know that. Everything that's happening to us right now could just be the way that we experience time.
It is the way we experience time.
Like, it could already be set in place, fixed. This conversation could have been pre-planned.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And I have no way of knowing that.
But the only way you have free will now because you don't have the burden of knowing that future.
That's not true free will.
Only if...
But it's the only free will you can prove.
The timeline that you see is the one where you... are the only one making choices, and you've only made choices based on a limited scope of information that you have available to you. When other people start making those choices, then your timeline changes and your choices change.
Sure, but we don't have individual timelines.
Sure we do.
But what? the future is the future. And this is not like we're all playing our own video games here. And
in the multiverse, in our own instance.
In the multiverse hypothesis, every decision made splits
the universe. So. Only that's fine and great, but practically you have to live in one continuous universe regardless of the amount of splits that there's going to be.
Or I'm just an amoeba, and this is the consciousness that's taken this path.
Sure, but I mean, if you're going to get that generic about it...
Like
every time you split into a new,
this is
every time you split into a new universe, you don't split. The other guy splits.
How do I know if I'm the gonna be the one at the top of the balcony or if I'm the one in the box, man?
Because you what? Are you Romeo and Julietting me?
That's the prestige. Look,
just put your angel costume back on.
You can't prove free will.
I agree.
So I think I have free will. What am I not? I have to think that I have free will, otherwise all this is garbage and there's no point.
Your multiverse theory is fine, but when you start looking at all the other dimensions...
Or then you can just pray that God has everything in his hands.
Come on.
Is no difference for what you're saying. Like, it doesn't...
I agree. No matter what...
Our consciousness doesn't allow us to have a conclusion whether or not there's free will.
We'd like the perspective to say definitively that we have free will.
Right, that's what I just said.
God has a plan. That is accepting no free will.
Don't fucking Battlestar Galactica this.
The Cylons
really
had a plan.
The Cylons did not have a plan.
They did have a plan.
They didn't have a plan.
It was a shitty plan, but there was no plan.
I disagree with you.
Okay. You disagree that you can't prove?
No, just in general.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
We're independent of this discussion.
I agree with what Adam's saying. David.
I don't remember what that was.
That is not an effective way to hold a conversation.
This is exactly Jose.
He's so deep in the argument.
This is Jose's argument about the pipeline.
He's just waiting for his turn to beat off.
And I was like, 500 miles, the pipeline is gonna leak. If a truck crashes or a train spills, we at least know where the problem is. I mean, it's still bad, but we can at least fix the problem.
Are we talking about
500 miles of pipeline? Like, the potential problems, because it will break. It's not a matter of if it will break. It's a matter of when it breaks, we won't know that the problem exists because it's 500 miles.
The company running that has an average of 3 pipeline breaks every month.
So then I explain this to him and he's like, well, I mean, you don't even have any reasons to oppose this. And I'm like, wait, what? What about all those reasons I just gave you about the pipeline? And I'm like, you could take all the money you spent. 500 miles of pipe is not cheap. You could just invest all that into a solar farm and, like, it would give you the money. And he's like, you just don't have any reasons to not support this thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? Do I have to write these down on a piece of paper?
Who is doing this? A coworker?
Me and fucking Jose.
Oh.
This is how he tortures me over lunches. He gets me all riled up. Then we get back to the office and I got all this angry energy I have to burn off. So then I yell at other coworkers. I get into needless arguments about the software we're writing right now. It's just a whole cascading domino effect of I have to go to a meeting tomorrow for this project that I have done no work on, and I have to pretend like I've done a bunch of work on it. Where's the free will in that, Alex?
You could quit.
I can't quit.
You could work at another company with somebody that you've worked with before that you don't seem to hate.
I can't do that.
Playing all the botanical gardens.
One, I would not be okay with the bee situation. Even though Tony says there's no bee situation.
There are bees.
There's a ton of bees. Yeah. There's a situation. It's not okay.
The bees are fine.
That's not okay.
You're just...
Tony knows the bees aren't okay.
I know that you aren't okay with bees. The bees are fine. No, you're just not okay with them.
I've only been stung by 2 bees at both times. I was...
The aggressor?
I was disturbing their home, and I didn't realize. And they stung me, and I was like, oh shit, I'm sorry, and then I left.
Was it because of what they were wearing?
Actually, I'm pretty sure both times were at Six Flags, too.
Six Flags is bullshit. They shut down a coaster when we were there once because of a bee infestation. And then I was like, why did you bring me to this fucking nightmare hellscape? There was this fucking bee that crawled up on me, and it was, like, encroaching across my shoulder up to my my head, and I was just left to fend for this situation on my own because everyone else backed away.
What are we talking
about? Bees
now. Bee. So I took that bee and I crushed the life out of that bee. And you know what? I don't regret it for a second.
Was it a bee or a hornet?
It was a hornet. Baby man.
Yeah, those are assholes. Bees. That's fine.
It was a life or death situation. I took care of business. All right? Everyone was making fun of me in the hangout because kicking your ass. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
All right. I don't.
I'm sorry, I'm kicking so much ass.
I can't remember if I had anything else to talk about in this movie. I enjoyed this movie.
Are you trying to end the podcast?
No, I'm just running out of ideas.
I do need to go pill roaming.
I went on a huge tangent and I got lost.
Yeah, we all did.
No, I didn't get lost.
So why do you like Interstellar better than this? That's bugging me.
It's bugging you?
Yeah.
There were a lot more complicated themes I felt that were in Interstellar.
Yes.
I will agree. They were more complicated.
That were emotionally more intriguing to me. The concept of space travel, they touch on the themes of, what was the name of the Matt Damon's character? Is it Matt Damon?
Man.
They're traveling through space. It's complicated. There's a lot of things going on in Interstellar. First of all, they travel to different planets, different types of planets, mm-hmm. and that's incredibly interesting. There are themes of loss when she goes to the planet with that they're getting the signal from her boyfriend, and they find out he's been dead for however. So then I think the third one they go to is...
He's been dead for at least 80 years because they wound up stuck on that fucking his planet.
So there was a lot of interesting science in Interstellar, mm-hmm. different types of interesting science. Like, how time affected them all differently on the different planets. Just the space travel itself. How his kid was aging back on Earth, but he wasn't. Like, he kept getting transmissions from them, and the kid was aging.
Yeah. Well, their ship kept getting transmissions because their ship wasn't in that... Their ship wasn't in the range of the black hole where time was slowing down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, the time dilation was... Something that you don't normally see addressed in like other
in movies.
In movies, you don't
like in books.
See this.
In books, right. You see a lot.
Ah, the Forever War is so good. That's all about time.
There's
dilation.
There's a lot of scientific themes, but there's also a lot of themes on humanity. Like these people, they set out on this mission knowing a majority of them are going to die alone, but that doesn't stop a bunch of them from signaling back, being like, oh, yeah, this planet's the best. You should come to this planet. This one's awesome. Which is what man does. He lures them to that planet because his survival instinct is such that he would, like, he's terrified.
He's Geist Baltaring them.
He destroys his,
You know I'm right.
I know you're right.
What do they call the computers, robot things? He destroyed his robot that came with him.
He doesn't destroy TARS.
No.
He destroys the other one.
Yeah.
Whose name I cannot remember.
Who would have told on him?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because they're not afraid of dying.
TARS was named after TARS Tarkus from John Carter, a princess of Mars.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to call either one of them a better movie. I like them both for different reasons.
I
thought they were both fantastic.
Tony, that's a weakness of character.
I thought this movie was good. It didn't enthrall me the way that Interstellar did.
I gotcha. I can't say that one's a better movie than the other. I like this movie a lot more.
These are the kinds of movies that are in a sweet spot for me of
subtle racism, classist undertones.
A thing I did not like about this movie.
Forrest Whitaker eye.
Something I did not like about this movie is when it has already been established that these are not flashbacks and she's having all of these memories, and the way they're doing it, they're trying to make it look up here like dreams, mm-hmm. like it's all scattered and fractured. I had already gotten what was happening long before they were literally spelling everything out. Like, they didn't, there was too much of that. It was like, okay, I already understand that this is your daughter from the future. I understand that he's going to be your husband. But it just kept going into these big reveal moments where it wasn't a big reveal anymore. I had already put together the pieces. Like, that was obnoxious to me.
So what threw a wrench into it for me was that one time
where wrench into you.
That one time where she was asleep, and in the dream, dude man turns into
Abbott.
Squid man. And he, like, speaks at her. I don't know what to call
it. He doesn't do nothing
their
really.
Spoken language.
Nothing happens.
But he sounds like a tugboat horn when he like talks. Because she's talking to him, and then all of a sudden,
it may have been that they were trying to spoon feed it to the people in the back who didn't get it. Like you say, I got it.
Yeah.
But. There may have been some people that didn't.
That's mine, but I don't give a fuck about those people.
Right. But
and if you're one of those people listening to this right now,
oh God,
Alex says, fuck you.
We're
gonna lose
one viewer. And we're going to go down to
what
one
are they
view per month.
What are they watching?
The
logo for an hour?
The way I looked at
slowly. Yeah.
That's what the way I saw that was that she was learning how to do it. Like, that was her coming into her ability to do it. Like she was accidentally getting these flash forwards, or they were feeding her these flash forwards as she got the language. But when, like, at that point in the movie where we start getting a bunch of them, like, that was the point where she was like, I get this now, and I'm gonna start trying to understand all these little bits of things that I'm seeing. So I'm going to dig deeper into these memories. Like, a lot of them were things we had already seen in the past, but we just saw more of the same scene,
mm-hmm.
or the same scene from a different angle where you pick up that the dad was right there. Mm-hmm. And that is Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. Like, for me, those weren't plot reveals. Those were dealing with the emotional implications of the things that she'd seen so far. Like, they'd hit you with all of these flashbacks about the kid, and then, like, you already knew the kid fucking died. But, like, when she realizes that, oh, shit, this is in my future, and, like, they do that kind of slow plotting thing where they just do, like, over and over again, I was fine with her dealing with the fact that, oh, shit, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to have a kid, and then that kid's going to die. Oh, shit.
At some point, I'm going to be a single parent.
Yeah.
Because of the decisions that I'm making today to be with
the dad. I think that's bullshit.
What do you think's bullshit?
Him deciding that she made the wrong decision?
To not tell him?
She is obviously...
What's the wrong decision? The problem is we don't have the whole story, so we don't know what the wrong decision is.
Yeah.
The wrong decision was the moment when he says, I really like you, and she says... Okay.
Well, yeah, that was the implication I got.
That was the moment. That was the one thing she had to decide.
The decision? No. The decision was to have the baby.
Yeah. That,
knowing that the baby's going to die.
Yeah. That.
But she doesn't have to. She doesn't even have to have a relationship with him.
No, Tony, come on.
But I feel like that's not. That wouldn't be enough to end a marriage.
Specifically, I think his referring to was, you decided to have this kid full well knowing that this was going to happen, and this was not worth how bad I feel about
the little girl. The little girl says, Daddy doesn't look at me the same way anymore.
Uh-huh.
So then she remembers, it's because I told him what your future is going to be.
Right.
She doesn't say that, but she says, I told him something he wasn't ready to hear.
Yep.
That's her telling him, I know that Louise Jr. is gonna die.
Well, and it could have been telling him that I've known
all along
before you told me you really liked me. I knew that we were gonna get married, have a kid. The kid was gonna die.
That'd be a rough conversation.
That would be a rough conversation to have with somebody.
I also think she's a much stronger person based off what we see in the movie than he is.
I mean, she doesn't have a choice. Like, it's not a much stronger person. She doesn't...
She jumps out of a hazmat suit first.
She is a brave person.
She's a baller.
What's interesting is, at the time, the information we had, when she pulls off the hazmat suit, I'm thinking, well, she's already lost a child. So what right. the fuck else? Why oh, not? Yeah, just,
she's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, she's got nothing to lose.
She's what? Just one educator on the brink of nothing.
Yeah, just why not? Let's risk it all because I've lost everything anyway.
So that begs the question.
Bitch plan.
What would our decisions be in this situation if you were going to have a kid? If you knew if you have a kid, that kid will live to a certain age. She looks like a teenager mm-hmm. and will die and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, what is...
I would not have the kid. I'm already going through this with Romeo. I don't want to do this again.
I think in the back of your head is something that you consider, like, before you have a kid.
I mean,
it's not something you want to think about, but you have to be prepared for the fact that at some point, the people you know and love will die. Whether or not it happens before you,
either you will or they will.
Yeah. Well, everybody will. It's just a matter of the order in which it happens.
Who does first?
Right.
I don't have a kid, but I feel like watching your kid die has got to be one of the worst fucking things in the world.
Yeah.
But every time you have a kid, you make that gamble.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know that I don't know that they're going to 100% die at 15 or 16, right?
No.
But you can also get tests. Yeah, that's what the gamble
Well, there's
is.
Also... I mean,
you can get tests to... You can test your genetics to see how likely you are to pass on XYZ diseases or disorders your child. And people decide not to have kids based on that information.
Sure. There's also people who have multiple miscarriages. And
that's actually very common.
It is. Having one is common, and then not having a problem again can happen. But the thing is once that happens, you go through a lot of emotional turmoil, and you have to then make a decision. Am I going to put myself through this again? Am I going to even risk it? Now, I understand what the rewards are, but is the risk of the emotional devastation again worth
it? The question is the reward of the time she gets to spend, even if it's a short amount of time, is that enough to mitigate the emotional trauma?
The huge challenge for me is I would be deciding this for the kid as well.
You already are. You're already deciding to give a child a life.
Oh, no. Yeah, but it's you're not... As you in her situation, she's not just deciding to give a child life. She's deciding that it's okay for this child to die.
Well, that's what you decide every time you have a kid.
I'm not...
Once
empty
the squirt sack.
But yeah. It's different to say this kid's going to have a normal life to say...
Would it be
this kid's not
going to
graduate
she,
high school.
Would it have been different if she had known that the kid would die at 32 in a car accident? Like,
yeah.
I mean, the difference is like, I've known people that died in high school, and their parents were devastated. They didn't know it was coming. It was an accident, and you just there's no way to know. It just happens. In this case, this character knows when it's going to happen. She knows at least an idea of how much time she's going to have. And when you watch those moments, if you specifically watch those moments that we see, she is savoring every moment.
She also knows the last couple of years of that kid's life are not going to be good. Like, you see the kid lose
Do you think
their
hair these people who lose their kids at young ages, do you think that they regret having children?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think the answer to that is no.
Right.
But if the challenge for me is that they're, I don't know, it would be so hard for me to make this choice to like have a kid that I know is going to die from what I think is leukemia. Well,
good news.
No,
you
she
don't
just
have
said
to.
It. Unstoppable disease.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was some sort of cancer because it looked like the kid got radiation treatment.
If it makes you feel better, you'll never have to make this choice because you're never going to know. It's always going to be a gamble.
What are you going to do when those fucking septopods show up tomorrow?
Heptapods.
Cephalopods.
I'm not
going to
do anything. The likelihood of being that 10% who can perceive time at...
Well, we don't know if it's 10%.
I feel like that's a high number.
Even if it's 1%, one out of 100 people can perceive time.
A lot of people can't perceive time currently.
Well, it's because the Earth is flat.
I time traveled on Saturday, Tony.
You did.
I was having trouble perceiving four dimensions on Saturday. And I'm not talking about smell as the fourth dimension.
At one point, you forgot how your legs worked.
Yeah, well, I feel like
I think
man,
there were
my legs hurt.
I think there was at least 2 points.
Again, that was from falling down. Wow. You fell down.
Did I fall down because I forgot how my legs worked? Or
at one point, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Because you were standing, and the next minute you were like, whoa.
At one point, you dropped a dollar, and that dollar had to be caught. So you just
I can almost guarantee you it wasn't.
It wasn't. You just went for it, though.
Yeah. Like... Oh, I thought the ground was a toilet. I don't want to lose the dollar in the toilet.
You went for that dollar, like
going after it,
like you were diving for a grounder in the World Series or some shit. Like, you,
man,
streets of that was good. So that gross. Was that was solid.
It's so wet.
We're
so wet for no good reason. Like
everything in Vegas just disgusting.
Yeah, we kept you away from the back alley behind that subway for a reason.
What?
The dumpster that everybody uses as a toilet.
It's across the street from the toilets we paid for.
I know, but we didn't let you go back there.
What was I going to do there? I already...
You know what, though? That was the best $10 I spent all day.
Oh, yeah. I used those things like 4 times. They're nice and clean.
2 years ago when it was freezing down there, it was just a nice heated tent with a trough. It's like,
oh. You guys don't even know. Using unisex toilets that aren't cleaned at Mardi Gras, it's the worst. It's disgusting. And it is not the women doing that. I do not pee all over the seat.
I don't know. I can imagine. And I don't want to deal with that.
At this place, they had separate toilets for the girls.
And they also cleaned them
between.
Yeah. Also, I liked that because there were two things that I think work in their favor. One, that person goes in to clean after you. You're going to get shamed if you just pissed all over that thing. And two, you paid
$10. No, I'm not, because I'm already... 2 blocks away.
First off, I was so drunk, no one's shaming me into anything.
Two, you paid $10 to get in there. That means it feels like you have like ownership over this toilet and you don't want to ruin it.
So I the ladies just don't piss everywhere to begin with.
I know.
That's how I solve the problem.
I'm also a good person.
The ladies that were working that booth and like cleaning them.
Doing God's work.
Literally, because it was the church's parking lot. Like, they were super sweet. Like, I came out and was washing my hands, and she was like, you having a good time? Oh, yeah, this is great. You guys, this is awesome. This is really great. You guys have this. She's like, well, I'm glad we're here for you guys. You know, this is our church. Come on out some Sunday morning. I mean, which was fine. I didn't care. I'm like, yeah, sure.
$10 and a soft sell. Is actually not too steep a price.
No,
for those toilets.
it was more just a pleasant conversation. Like this woman had like literally like 30 seconds earlier had been in one of the bathrooms. I saw her crouch down cleaning the front of the toilet and like was in a cheerful mood. It wasn't one of the guys' ones, by the way.
The front of the toilet.
It's
a bad scene.
Every time I came out of one of those, it was cold enough that I wasn't like cold, but my hands were kind of cold. Every time I fucking put that alcohol on my hands to wash my hands, I was like, why is it so fucking cold?
I didn't know that there was a station to wash your hands.
You're a monster!
But I also don't have to touch my penis when I
that's true.
Go to the bathroom, so.
Well, you don't have to.
I still do.
I do.
I don't have to.
The 5 minutes after I'm finished peeing, it's just, that's just for me.
Anything more than 2 shakes is pleasure.
Anything more than 2 shakes, get away from the urinal and go to a stall.
I look forward to the day when this movie is available on Google Play for like a $2. A $2 sale, and I will buy it.
I might add it to my 2-movie collection on iTunes.
Deadpool?
Nope.
No. I know what this is. You've told me before. I can't remember now, though.
I don't buy movies on any of these cloud services because they don't let you download the fucking movie. You always have to stream it.
No. You can download them.
In the Google Play app. Like, I can't put it on my network storage.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put it on these notes.
So, like, it pisses me off. Like, I bought this movie. I want to put it on my NAS. So I just don't buy them.
Okay.
I'll steal them before I buy them.
John Carter. I legit own John Carter.
That's not a bad own.
Not at all. Dark Knight. Dark Knight was a fucking masterpiece. I'm actually surprised I don't own Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
You have seen that movie like a billion times.
I've seen that movie probably more than times than I've ever seen any other movie.
I think if you watch it on Netflix, they like send you a quarter. Like it's less than free.
I am directly beneath the enemy scrotum.
Alex is on fire tonight.
That's no fire because he's fucking seeing the future, so he can, like, he already knows what's going to get him set up for these fucking jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I studied that language.
The free will is just studying all the moments to lay in with his jokes.
Yeah.
And he sprinkles in some that miss just to throw us off.
Basically, the trade-off is free will for sick burns.
I would totally take that.
All right. Are we done here? I can't tell.
I don't know.
Anything else?
Yeah, I was watching makeup tutorials.
Yeah, we're probably good,
though. I was going to finish reading this book on the way home.
What book?
Story of Your Life.
How's the book?
It's good.
I don't know what that is.
It's the this book movie. The movie was based on.
I forgot. I wanted to talk about this other thing, but it's...
It was The Expanse and how great it is.
Say it, Alex.
No.
Say it now or forever hold your peace.
So while you
ponder that... fuck, there was something I wanted to talk about.
So The Expanse... I want to listen to the audiobook before I dive back into the TV show.
The season 2, episode 5 just concluded the first book.
Perfect. Basically, I was just having a hard time following the characters, and I just wanted a little more. I wanted a little more in-depth from the book before I...
Yeah, this is what I love about the show, but also what I can imagine is really frustrating for people who have not read the books. Like, they do zero exposition.
Right.
That shit is... The Indian chick,
mm-hmm.
the Iranian chick.
Right.
They add her. She doesn't show up until the second book. They add her in the first season.
Right.
As the exposition device of this is what's going around the solar system. Because without it, it's just like, oh, there's just these people and they don't like these other people. And these other people don't like these other people. And Earth hates Mars and Mars hates Earth.
Yeah,
and there's these slaves that, they both have.
But there were like, I was having a really hard time figuring out who I was supposed to care about.
I also do this weird thing that I don't really enjoy, but I realized that they had to do for TV. Like, so when their ship blows up and then it's just the four of them,
mm-hmm.
it's just Holden, Naomi, Amos, and Alex, like... I don't know why they made this TV decision, but, like, everything between the four of them seems really contentious. Like, there's a lot of interpersonal conflict there that just is not there.
Mm.
Like, the four of them are like, yeah, we're like a family, and, like, we all survived this horrible shit, and now we have a ship, so we're just gonna, like, actually legally make ourselves a family so that we all are part owners of this, and we all agree that Holden should be captain. Like, we just all agree that this is how it should be. And we're all okay with this.
Yeah.
Let's go do, like, freelance work.
Yeah, like, if they would have done that, I think I might have enjoyed it more. Like, it just...
Like, you get the impression that the characters don't like each other.
Well, and I didn't like any of them because of that. Like, I don't know who I'm supposed to like, so I don't like any of them.
One, the answer is Amos. You're supposed to love Amos.
Okay.
You're probably not supposed to because he's a sociopath, but you should love Amos. Amos is the fucking best. Amos has a great conversation later where he's like... I'm not the best person to know what right or wrong is, but usually I just follow Holden's lead because everyone else seems to think he knows what's right. So that's probably a good call. Just I love Amos.
Did you say you had something else, Caitlin?
I can't remember it.
I got a big conversation, but I'm gonna save it for some side project that I'm working on.
His other podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it's not a podcast.
His side chick.
I'm going to start a blog project. Because I feel like I have some things.
This is the second time we've mentioned this blog tonight.
What?
I'm going to start a blog because I feel like I have some things that I need to deal with and I don't know how to deal with them. So I'm going to write about it.
Do you need a website?
Blog is the...
Do I know this? I can handle it, Tony.
I got unlimited space.
A blog is the tool you choose to unpack this with?
Yeah.
I
mean, Feel free to post dick pics to it after.
You see that blog that Luke posted in the Hangout? His in-law, like cousin-in-law's movie review blog?
Oh, I read part of that.
Oh, boy.
Jesus, Tony.
It was
throwing shade. What's going on?
Yeah, it was fucking terrible. It was god awful. Like, the writing was bad. Like, he reviewed things that he hadn't seen just based on the fact that he didn't think people should watch them.
Oh.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah. That's what I do.
I don't waffle on this. Never mind.
No.
I was going to say I waffle on the having to have experienced the media to make a judgment on it, but then I realized, no, I don't feel that way at all. I feel like you do have to experience the media to make a judgment on it.
Lately, there's something I want to unpack, but we could probably say this for another episode, and it's the idea that...
You guys fucking edging yourselves over there? What's going on?
I don't know. BSP seems to be running downhill, so I'm putting some eggs in some other baskets.
Wow. Now that we've peaked at 400 episodes, it's all fucking downhill from here.
Can you please name your blog Bitch Planet?
Steal that logo. I'm sure they won't care.
No, yeah. I have a domain name that I bought last year, and I haven't...
Are you woman enough to survive?
No.
Bitch
Planet?
You
have a domain you bought?
Yeah.
Girl Gangs.
I regretted buying it.
Caged and enraged.
I've bought a lot of domains. Justice League of Podcasters.
Lightsabersaurus.
That one's actually in use. Airship Laser, you know, Dino Shark.
Tumblr's a place where you don't even have to buy domains. You just
that posts naked pictures of people.
Yeah, you slide right on up. And
I think the domain name is appropriate for what I'm doing, though.
Is it Dick's Picks?
It has the word dick in it.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I disapprove.
Is it Dick Share?
Just because I just disapprove of dicks in general.
That's a good plan. I would not budge on that point.
No, but I hear a lot of people being really down on movies when you hear the reasons for it, it has nothing to do with the quality of the movie, and it has almost everything to do with about their expectation of what the movie was supposed to be and how it didn't live up to whatever their expectation
was. The work stands alone. That includes yourself.
That's a problem. That's a problem for a lot of people.
I don't know. I have nothing else to...
There's still people raging about Ghostbusters.
Oh, it was so good.
It wasn't the world's best movie.
No.
It is not something to still be raging about.
No. Yeah.
It was a comedy.
As the worst movie in the world.
No, like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a comedy that I wanted to watch. I would watch
Paul
it again happily.
Paul Freed ruined my childhood.
It's
and now all my sons are gay.
It the movie
sounds
was
like an improvement.
The movie was okay. It won't
I want that movie.
It won't ever have a sequel because of China.
What?
So in Chinese culture, they don't like spirits, like spirits of ancestors, anything where a dead person is coming back. So therefore, they could not release Ghostbusters in China. And therefore, it lost out on an incredible amount of market.
I think they just spent too much money on the movie then, if you need to release it in two countries to make money on it.
They spent way too much on marketing. Well, actually, anymore, you pretty much have to be able to release into China.
I don't think they probably spent a lot of money on things that they didn't need to spend money on.
I mean, this wasn't Avengers.
No, it wasn't Avengers, but like...
So like $1 billion domestic gross was just not going to happen.
No.
I don't know. I thought this was a good movie. Or I thought Ghostbusters was a good movie.
We are not reviewing Ghostbusters.
Again.
But like...
I should have worked
out more. We won't get another Ghostbusters, but we'll probably get another Warcraft movie because of China.
Man, I hope so.
I actually really liked
the Warcraft movie. The movie was good.
Are they really gonna
fucking flying around? I'm like, oh fuck, it's Owen Forrest. What the fuck?
I want the Warcraft movies to continue, because I want to see the power creep in the armor in the 10th movie. I want to see those fucking shoulder pads that are just like 6 feet wide.
Yeah. They look like they're walking around in mech.
Yeah, like that's...
Yes. More.
Like
More.
Like I don't want to watch any of the movies until the 10th movie. And then I just want to see what the shoulder pads
look like. And all the armor needs to be in the most garish color schemes that you can possibly imagine.
Like, in mismatch. Oh my God. Like, I want to see the guy kill something and then pick up the helmet that doesn't match what he has now and like look at it like, fuck, this is too good. And he has to put it on. So he's got this bright pink teddy bear on his head.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Why not?
Because they
because you can transmog all your stuff.
Yeah,
you can make it look like other stuff.
Yeah. Lame, man.
And like you can just make sets. So like when you replace something, you just the next time you fucking Mike Curry has a fucking transmog mount. Get on it. It's like, oh, I need an emergency transmog.
Jesus.
I know they changed that in.
It was recent.
Pandaria.
Yeah,
they added that in Pandaria so that you could just.
Actually, I love it, man. Because now I can wear all the coolest things that I have. Like, everything I have is on fire.
But it was so...
Like, my helmet is always... It's just like...
Wait, are you the girl on fire?
I am the girl on fire. Like, for the 10th anniversary promotion, they brought back Rags, and he was, like, level appropriate. So when you killed him, they like, you have this gigantic Whorehound mount. It's like three times the size of, like, normal characters. It's ridiculous. But you also get, like, this crown of flame, and it's just, like, this on-fire crown. That I just never not wear because it looks fucking awesome.
I was a druid, so you never saw my armor anyway. But it was always hilarious. Just nothing. Like, if you transformed out of a bear for a second and just looked at my character, it's like, what the fuck? Why do you have this giant stick?
There's a drop in Firelands for druids that turns your cat into a flaming cat. Like, you're just a cat that's on fire.
Is it just a glyph?
No, it's a trinket.
Oh.
It's like, it's a 2-hour buff, but then like there's a cooldown of an hour on the thing, so you can always have it on. It's whatever Staghelm turns into when you fight him. Like that flaming cat form. I haven't played WoW in months. Just saying.
A copy-paste, replace months with years. Alex said that.
I hate WoW.
The grind. The grind is not fun.
If not this, something else. It's all the same.
Well, I stopped playing WildStar after a while. The mechanics of WildStar are a lot of fun, but it was a grind after a while.
I like the part in WildStar where you get a house and you can decorate it. You get your own plot of land. If WoW had something like that, I'd consider playing in. But I lose too much of my life to it. Like,
they kind of do, right? You get your own garrison in WoW.
Your own who's-y what?
Garrison.
The what now?
They stopped that.
Oh, they...
What's a garrison? Halls
now. You got a castle.
Yeah.
No, still not interested.
The house stuff was fun in the...
Like, I already have enough stuff that distracts me.
My problem was just the pay system on it. I just didn't feel the need to...
In WildStar?
No, I never played WildStar in WoW. I just never felt the need to play a game that I had to keep paying to keep persistent.
Right.
I mean, that's why I got into Guild Wars instead. I bought the game and then it was mine and then I could just it was a similar enough playstyle to WoW that I could enjoy it. Plus I really liked the fact that as soon as I left town, I was in my own instance. I didn't have to deal with other people grinding for the same.
I loved interacting with people randomly in WoW.
Well,
chicken fucker.
In the early game it was always such a pain in the ass to
they weren't harassing me.
To get the spawns. Yeah, I mean, it just... Oh, there's 45 people here waiting for the same three whatever to show up, and we all need to kill 17 of them.
Goddamn trap on it.
Fucking Timeless Isle, man.
You guys should join the same group and get it together.
That's why I liked Guild Wars. You as soon as you leave town, the instance is yours. Everything in the instance is yours to kill. Unless you're going out as a group, and then it's... Your instance as the group.
WildStar was nice because if you ever had to kill something specific, it was in an instance, which was nice.
Yeah.
Like, there was some general shit, like, go kill 10 boars. That's not instance because there's a field with 100 boars.
Right.
But And actually,
I like that Wildstar still had killing boars as a thing.
It wasn't boars. They were usually these
pigmen.
These trees have come to life and are fucking shit up. Go deal with that.
Go bring back 10 branches.
These guys are setting our farms on fire and our plants are scared. Go deal with that. The plants are scared. What? And then you go over there and the plants are running around.
Collect 10 plants.
Like, oh shit. The plants are actually scared.
Collect 10 plants. Extinguish 10 fires.
I'm really liking. I know you're gonna roll your eyes, but I'm really liking Witcher 3. Oh, like there are quests that I get now where the character's literally rolling his eyes at the quest. It's like I go up and I'm trying to help. I need something from this druid, and his pet pig has run off. He's like, oh, so I guess I'm gonna have to go get this pig for you now.
Oh
aren't
my
I?
God, Tony, this is the worst. So not only do you know the quest is stupid, your character knows the quest is stupid, but you're still going to do the quest. It's just that the connection you have is that you both think the quest is dumb.
Yes, it's the best. I love
which
it.
Makes you like the quest, which
I
is
know.
Ridiculous.
It is.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but that's why I like it.
I kind of liked the Radiant quest in Skyrim, because it'd be like, oh, I need you to go kill these bandits in this cave, right? Like, it'd just be a random quest, and you'd go in the cave. And then an hour and a half later, you were in the fucking Dwarven Underdark, and you're like, how the fuck did this happen to me right now?
Yeah.
And how do I get out?
Yeah. Because I am carrying too much shit, and I need to get rid of some of it.
Yeah.
My backpack is full of dungeon cabbages. I don't know when I'm going to need all these brooms.
My cabbages.
Like that fucking Penny Arcade comic. Oh, the broom dungeon was crazy. What do you mean the broom dungeon? Well, I've got all these brooms in case I need them later. No, that's just like, why did you pick that up? No, I'm going to carry them in case I need them.
You never know.
You never know.
The best quest chain in Skyrim was the one where you pass out drunk. And then you have to wake up and piece together the night you had.
Yeah, the hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
That was the best
what,
one.
Married? What?
One of the best parts about that quest when I got it is I wound up in a town that I already had some crazy high bounty on me. Because they tried to arrest me there and I fought my way out of town. So then I woke up in a temple.
Shouting.
I woke up in a temple in this town. And, like, I then had to fight my way out again. God fucking damn it.
Kept shouting. Even though the guards are like, please stop. We've asked you to stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, I'm overloaded. And I need to get to the shopkeep. So I'm going to keep whirlwind sprint
shouting. Doing over here. Get the fuck out of here.
Don't kill the chickens.
Ah, oh, fuck. Chicken. Oh, chicken. Oh.
I got a series of
Dragon, everyone. Dragon.
I get to the point where I get a quest where I need to go gather allies because there's a big fight coming up. And it was, you know, pinging me showing, here's this quest line, here's this quest line, here's this quest line. Quest failed. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you suck.
How did I get a quest failed when I didn't even start it? Then I went back and read what the quest was, and it was to go get the help of someone that I had killed earlier in the game. Whoops.
My first experience with that was like Fallout New Vegas. Like, you would kill somebody and then it would tell you that you failed a quest that you hadn't accepted yet. And then I'd be like, shit, I guess I can't kill that guy. Because I don't know what that quest is.
Well, yeah, and like this chick was a bitch, so I killed her. I guess I wasn't supposed to do that.
And in New Vegas and in Fallout 3, you could literally just kill everyone.
Yeah.
Until there was only one ending in the game. You could just kill everyone. But in Skyrim, they changed it so that you couldn't kill certain people. And it pissed me off because I wanted to kill that Blackbriar lady. She was so mean.
Fucking hate crime over there.
She was
I think
also, did you play with the hood on? Or
yeah.
I don't remember if it was Sam or Stingray tells a story about a friend of theirs who played Skyrim and like made it a point to kill everyone they could in the game and drag their bodies all to one spot. And like made this mound of corpses.
Oh, it's that serial killer.
Yeah.
There was this one person who in Skyrim who can't go into Whiterun anymore because the vendors didn't have enough money, so they just took to just dropping their extra shit on the streets. And now when they go to Whiterun, it's just piles and piles of shit, and it causes their game to crash. There's so much crap there.
That's good. That's funny.
There's just fucking dragon bones and wheels of cheese and just whatever, right? As far as the eye can see in piles.
Yeah, the best thing was when I learned that I could shout at dragon bones and just boot them into the stratosphere. That was a good day. Let's go see where it landed.
Hopefully near a city. It's fucking heavy.
Best thing that happened to me in that game, I was walking along and then I saw this mammoth walking through the sky, and I was like, oh, there must be a mountain here that hasn't loaded yet. And then I waited, and then like the game realized, oh shit, mammoths can't fly, so this mammoth just ragdoll physics falls to its own death in front of me, and I go loot it. This was like super early on in the game too, when I was like level 5 and couldn't have killed it on my own. I was like, oh, the mountain must not have loaded yet. Nope, it's now falling.
Gravity hadn't loaded yet.
Also, I love that the horses would glitch out and you could just walk up any mountain with them.
Mm.
There's probably a path to get to this point, but I'm not going to find it, so fuck it. I'm just going to get this horse and run.
Maybe we'll play that again.
Maybe not.
All right, are we done here?
Yeah.
I think so. All right, next week, Moonlight.
Ooh, the Moonlight!